introducing Daniel Amstutz, who is the director of Healing School and is going to be sharing with us today. Amen.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Well, it is good to be back together again, isn't it? Hallelujah. I tell you what, God has been so faithful as He always has been and always will be. And it's just great to celebrate His faithfulness on a daily basis and to cooperate with what He's doing in the earth. It's an amazing time to be alive, isn't it? We can focus on the things that are negative, but the Bible says in the world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. Amen? And you know, when you get a medical report that's not lining up with God's report, that is an awesome opportunity for you to become depressed, for you to become weary, for you to become discouraged, you know, for you to look at the negative report and exalt that to the point that it consumes your very vision, to where all you can see around you is now through that glass darkly, through that perspective. You begin to imagine how your life is coming to an end. You begin to think about all the things you could have done if you just would have had more time. You begin to make plans for the end. And that negative report begins to consume your heart. And so I wanted to start off the new year, this year, 2016, with a good report message. Amen? As I was praying about what to share with you, the Lord just kept emphasizing over and over how a merry heart does good like a medicine. And if there was ever a time for us in the midst of all of the adversity and the challenges of our media-oriented culture that we're living in today, with all of the wars and rumors of wars and the things that we see in the natural realm to become discouraged, it would be now. And many people are discouraged. In fact, the Bible says that in the last days, men's hearts are going to fail them because of what? Because of fear. And fear is so powerful in a negative way that men's hearts will absolutely begin to fail them because of how great that fear is. But we have a better report from the Word of God. And the Word of God declares that perfect love does what? Casts out all fear. And of course, God's love is that perfect love. His love is complete. His love is so powerful that even though faith and hope work together with love, the Bible says the greatest is what? Is love. So I want to pour this out to you today. We're going to unpack this. Usually when I prepare a message, it turns into a series, whether I want it to or not. And so we'll just take a few minutes here this afternoon to look at God's Word. But first of all, we have to make a choice to identify with God, identify with His character, identify with His Word, and settle in our heart who we really are instead of who culture or who a medical report says we are. You know, many times when someone gets a bad medical report, you'll begin to absolutely think of yourself as that disease. I'm so-and-so with diabetes. I'm so-and-so with, and you name that sickness. You begin to identify it because it has become so magnified and so exalted in your own heart, in your own life. So look with me, if you will, at 2 Corinthians 5:17, and we're going to just establish a few things here from the Word of God. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Everybody say, I'm a new creation when I'm in Christ. Amen. So you are a brand new creation. Something brand new has happened on the inside of your spirit man, which is the real you. He goes on to say, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Thank God that He has given to us this ministry of reconciliation. And so we have to identify, lay down our old identity, take up this new identity that says who we really are instead of who we thought we were. We thought we were sinners saved by grace, but now we find out that no, we're actually the righteousness of God in Christ. Not because of anything that we've done, we've just simply believed and received what it is that He did. So as we take on this identity, we find out that in the identity of Christ, there are many things that are included in that identity. And what happens is very interesting in our daily walk in this thing we call life, because how many know that whatever you magnify in your heart is what's going to get bigger? Amen? So based on this identity in Christ, it becomes very important what we identify with, whether we're going to identify with the things of the kingdom of God and the word of God, or whether we're going to identify with what culture says is to be our new normal. Well, you know what happens is when you begin to magnify the problem, you're going to have a different outcome than when you begin to magnify the promise. And as we were singing in worship today, every promise of God is yes and amen. And in this relationship, in this righteous relationship that we have with Christ, we're going to find out that He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We're going to find out that it's His will. How many of you want to know the will of God? Amen? It's His will that we prosper and be in health, even as what? Our soul prospers. So if our soul is not magnifying the right things, we're going to not prosper. We're going to go backwards, aren't we? Instead of prospering, we're going to not prosper. Instead of being in health, we're going to accept sickness as our normal. And you know, whatever you can tolerate, you're going to be able to live with. Whatever you can tolerate, oh, it's just a little sore. It's no big deal. Okay, well then live with it. See? It's just a little pain. It's not that bad. I mean, I can get along with a crutch. I can get along with a wheelchair, okay? See? Whatever we tolerate is what we're going to learn to live with. And you know what's interesting about tolerating something? When you begin to tolerate it after a period of time, you don't even know you are anymore. You've compensated for it for so long that you don't even know you're compensating for it anymore. And when that thing goes away, you realize, wow, whom the sun sets free is really free. You know, you don't have to make those, you know, accommodations for the brokenness, the weakness, the sickness, the whatever it is that you've made for so many years. Why? Because we've realized what God says, what His covenant has given to us, and now we're identifying with that, and we're saying, you know what? My soul is going to prosper, praise God. My inner man, all that is within me, is going to learn how to bless the Lord. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who heals me of what? All my sickness and disease, not just some. See? Thank God for being able to identify with God and with His provision. But here's what we have to do, because what we magnify on our inner man or in our inner man is going to become bigger in our lives. And whatever becomes bigger is what's going to dominate our thoughts. It's going to dominate how we think, and how we think is going to determine how we live. So 3 John says, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So we're going to find out that this is where we begin to magnify the provision. We begin to magnify the promise instead of the problem. Now, here's what Christian Science teaches. Christian Science teaches that there is no problem. We're just going to think positive. We're going to deny the problem, and we're just going to focus on all things positive. Now, how many know positive thinking is a fabulous thing? Anybody ever read the book on, you know, the power of positive thinking? That was required reading for me years and years ago when I was first involved in sales. And it does make a huge difference, doesn't it, when we think positively. But again, if we initiate anything just from our soul without being born again, we're going to create a counterfeit every time, because all we're going to be doing is living in the power of self-control, of soul power, of willpower, the energy of self, instead of drawing from this new identity of all things being brand new in Christ. And now my spirit man, which is the real me, is the one who is alive unto God, and I've got the same power, the same faith living on the inside of me that raised Christ from the dead. When I begin to identify with that, then what comes up out of that identity is going to take on a completely different nature and a completely different outcome as a result. So instead of energizing from my soul, I'm going to activate from the Spirit of God. I'm going to come into agreement with what God is saying. I'm going to identify with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word are going to come together in my life. And what's going to come up out of the abundance of my heart is going to influence my body. It's going to determine how I'm going to live in this physical realm. What's amazing about how you think is how you think will determine how you live. So it's not just the power of positive thinking, it's renewing the mind by the Word of God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's renewing the mind by the Word of God based on the identity of Christ within your spirit man. So I'm not just going to think positive thoughts, you know, I'm going to be that person, but I'm going to think the thoughts of the Word of God, and in those thoughts, in that way of life, every promise is yes. That's pretty positive. So am I going to be positive? Absolutely. I'm going to be so hilariously positive that I'm going to blow the devil away. Amen? When he comes to me with doubt and unbelief, instead of identifying with that lie, instead of identifying with that evil report, I'm going to go back to my source and I'm going to say, what did God say about this? What was God's report on this? And as I begin to identify with that report, my whole DNA is going to begin to take on a different flavor, if you will, than it would have otherwise. Now, one of the things that I'm excited to share with you today, I hope we'll have time to get to it, but I'm going to talk to you today a little bit, not a whole lot, but a little bit about the medical benefit of speaking in tongues. Not only is it spiritually beneficial, as we, most of us would, you know, already recognize, and I'm sure many of you here already speak in tongues, are filled with the Holy Ghost, and that benefit is so amazing. But you know what? All of God's identity is beneficial for us. The benefits of God are amazing. That's why the Bible says, forget not all, what? His benefits. Forget not all his benefits. You know, one of the most important things about a new job is the benefit package. At least it used to be. You know? What's the health care like? What's this like? What's the retirement like? What's the, you know, and when we become born again, many times because of where we're fellowshipping or you know, the teaching that we're not getting, we don't even know we have benefits. We don't even know we have them, let alone not forget them. So all of his benefits are for us. And God has given us all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness. He said, I came to give you life and give it to you what? Come on. More abundantly, not less abundantly. He said, nothing will be impossible to the one who believes. I set before you life and death. Choose life. Amen. So in this benefit package, we have the ability now through the nature of Christ within us to identify with what he has given and then begin to magnify it in our life. I saw just this morning when I was working out at 24-Hour Fitness, this is where my wife and I have a membership, and we were working out there this morning, and they had a little TV monitors, you know, like they do in many of these places, and they have like a closed circuit system on several of the TVs where they're just basically playing their advertisements for their products and all kinds of little health tips, and they were just so helpful this morning when they posted up on the TV, flu season is here. And I'm like, oh, goody, thanks so much. No, you know what I said? As soon as I saw that, I said, not for me. See, used to be a time when I'd get all prepared for flu season, you know. Just, you get ready, here it comes. Might as well just hang a wreath on the door. We just had Christmas, now we got flu. But as soon as I saw that on the monitor today, inside of my spirit man just rose up and said, not for me. See, that is not my report. That may be what you believe, but that is not what I believe. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to identify so much with that report that that just sounds stupid to me. That's why you can laugh at it. See, how many have been tempted today to take heroin? Anybody? I mean, there could be somebody here, you know. But how many of you deal with thoughts and temptations of heroin? If you were to get that thought, that would be the most stupid, crazy thought of your day, most likely, wouldn't it? You'd just be like, oh, whatever. Well, you know what? Let's do that with sickness. Let's do that with stress. Let's do that with fear. Amen. Let's do that with financial destruction and lack. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Are you kidding me? That is hilarious. See? I mean, let's just make fun of it. Flu season? That's just stupid. That's under my foot. What I identify with, I'm going to magnify. Would you say that with me today? What I identify with, I'm going to magnify. God says, magnify me. Magnify my word. Value my word to the point that you begin to live it from the inside out. I love this so much about God, because instead of being consumed by problems, we get to be consumed by promises. And every promise that God has ever given us is yes and amen and amen. Now listen to this. Whatever I identify with in my heart will produce an image. Whatever I identify with in my heart will produce an image. Here's what often happens, and we'll get into this further at probably another time, but let me just give you a quick example of this. Let's say that you begin to feel, which is kind of typical for this time of year, you know, it's snowing today, and we go from a warm auditorium to a cold outside, and, you know, sometimes, you know, I asked Siri this morning on my smartphone, I said, what's the temperature, you know, push the little thing on the bottom, you know, Siri, what's the temperature in Woodland Park? She goes, brr. I'm like, are you kidding me? She goes, brr, it's really cold. It's 21 degrees or whatever it was. You know, I'm like, okay, that's just scary. But you know, you begin to feel that little thing in your throat. You know, you're like, uh-oh. Oh boy, here we go. You know, first thing you start thinking is, what? Tea and honey. You know, penicillin. You know, antibiotic, I better go to the, you know, I mean, if you're not careful, if you live like normal people live, you're going to begin to immediately begin to magnify that pain and that symptom. We're not denying it's there, but we're going to magnify it to the point that, you know what, before long, that thought has produced an image on the inside of us, and we're going to act it out. We're going to call the doctor and make an appointment. Could I see a specialist, please? I think I might have throat cancer. I mean, it's just crazy how this thing will just escalate as you begin to magnify the wrong thing You know what? The same principle will work if we magnify God's word. So instead of that, the minute you begin to feel that symptom, when you begin to speak to that symptom and begin to declare God's word out loud from your heart and speak it right to your body, it is amazing how quickly your symptom will turn around and bow its knee to the word of God. Sometimes, depending on what it is you're fighting or you're dealing with, it may take longer. But listen, you will win if you don't quit. Amen. Not everything is healed in an hour. Not everything is received, I should say, in a day or you know, even in a week. But praise God, with God's word, all things are possible to him who believes. And having done all to stand, what we're going to do is continue to believe. We're believers. That's what we do. We believe. Amen. So with this, I want to show you something. We need to learn how to respond by focusing our attention on the right thing. As we magnify, that thing that we're magnifying is going to produce an image on the inside of us, and we're going to begin to identify and be conformed to that image. Look with me at Romans chapter 4, and I want to just look quickly at verses 19 through 21, speaking about Abraham. This is such a great example of someone who did not conform or magnify what was not to be magnified. Look at this in verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. He didn't make a big deal about the fact that he was about 100 years old. I love that. You know, you get to be 40 and you get that birthday party with all the black balloons. It's like, really? You know what? I mean, seriously, we have bought into so many lies in our culture today. Why are we over the hill at 40? What hill? There is no hill in my life, praise God. You know, I'm in the kingdom of God, and I'm just going to keep going until Jesus comes or we get raptured out of here or whatever it is that happens. You know, we're not going to retire. We're going to refire. Amen? So look at it. He's about 100 years old here, and he says, God gives him a promise, and what does he do? He doesn't consider his own body. See? Instead of listening to those symptoms and magnifying those things, what are we going to do? We're going to diminish them. We're not going to spend time meditating on the symptoms. We're not going to go to WebMD and find out every little nuance of our system, of our symptom. Because how many know at the end of every one of those, it could cause cancer? You start off with a hangnail, and by the time you're done with the WebMD, you've got cancer. I mean, just don't become an expert at the symptoms. Instead, don't consider your own body. But what did he do? Not wavering at the promise of God through unbelief. Not wavering at the promise of God through unbelief, he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Listen, how many of you are fully convinced today that what God has promised you, he is able to perform? Amen? And not only is he able to perform it, but he says, I'm not only able, but I'm willing. Praise God. I want you to know my will. I want you to cooperate with my will. And my will is that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. God wants us to be healthy from the inside out, not from the outside in. Hallelujah. You know, beauty is a beautiful thing. Sorry, that just made me laugh. But how many know that God's beauty always starts from the inside? The world's way is always from the outside in. God says, no, I got something way better, you know? And I tell you what, there's something about someone who is so in love with God that the Holy Ghost actually makes you start to look better than you really are. It's amazing. I mean, it's like his anointing on the inside of you will do so much for you. You'll get so much benefit from his life living on the inside of you that sometimes you're not even aware of how much the Holy Ghost is helping you. And the Holy Ghost has made you look good. See? That's the truth. He is your helper, and he will help you in everything. And the beauty of the Lord starts on the inside of us, and it begins to change how we think. It begins to change how we process our imagination, our thought life. Everything about our inward processes begin to change as a result of the grace of God. And because God's life is just that good, hallelujah, I told you, God is just that good. Amen? Because his life is that good, he says, don't forget all the benefits. Don't forget all the benefits. What's he given you? Man, he's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Praise the Lord. So I want to turn to Colossians chapter 3 and I'm going to give you just a few things here today to think about regarding your heart, but I want you to notice that we have to focus on the right things. Colossians chapter 3, and let's start with verse 1 if we can. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Okay, let's pause there just for a second. If then you were raised with Christ, what does that mean? I'm so identifying with him that because I've died to my old way of life, because I've died to sin, I am now living as the righteousness of God in Christ. And when Christ died, I died with him and in him. And when he was raised, I am raised with him. And I'm now sitting in him. I'm in him. Amen. Look at this. If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your mind, same word for affection. Set your, what are we, spirit, soul, and body, right? So what we literally could say is set your soul on things above. Okay? So if I'm going to set my mind on things above, I'm going to think on the things of God. I'm going to identify so much with this place that I'm now risen to in him that I'm going to set my affection, my emotion, my thought life on things above. Well, what are those things above? Well, you know, God is holy and, you know, heaven and, you know, sitting around and worshiping for 1,000 years. And now, the things that are above are the things that are active in your life right now by the Word of God. What things are above? I wish above all things that you would be in health and prosper. We need to think on that. What does that look like for me? What does it look like for me to prosper? What does it look like for me to be in health? Sometimes I'll look in the mirror and I'll look straight into my eyes, because how many know that the eyes are the windows of the soul? And I will tell my body what it's going to do. Why? Because I'm thinking on things above. See? I'm thinking on those things. I'm valuing that. So when my symptoms start to talk to me and want to have a conversation, come on. When those symptoms start talking and want to have a conversation, do you remember what I said last year? Talk to the hand. We are not having a conversation about this. Amen. I'm going to speak to you, and I'm going to look at you right out of my eyes, and I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, body, here's what we're going to think about. And I begin to list the benefits. If you don't know what they are, take some time to write them down. And when you get in that moment, pull out your little 3x5 card and just give it a little, you know, talk to the hand, right? And you begin to tell your body what your body's going to feel. See? Instead of all of that other stuff trying to come in from the outside. Now let's go back to verse 2 again there if we can, or whatever it was. What was it, 20? Yeah, 2. Colossians 3, 2. Setting your mind or your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It doesn't mean that you have to be an airhead, right? Or that you can just be, you know, so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. We're talking about all of this is very tangible on a daily basis. You can walk this out in your walk of the Spirit from minute to minute, from day to day. Thank God. Everybody say with me, there's something about life that's so daily. All right, verse 3. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Love that. Verse 4. When Christ died, or when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Verse 7. In which ye yourselves once walked when you lived in those things, in them. Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these things. You're to do what? Put them off. You know what? I'm not identifying with that. That may have been me, but that's not me now. Bless God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things are brand new. Amen. You know what? One of the things I love about this ministry and about Charis Bible College and just, you know, all that God is doing, as we mentioned earlier, is if we had time to hear all of your stories today, your journey, what we would hear is that. That passage that we just read is what we would hear. Such were some of you, right? But now, you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you now have put off the old man with his deeds. I love that. Who are we now? We are a brand new creation, praise God. And we're living from this place of identity. And in this place of identity, we know from Galatians 5 and all kinds of different places that the fruit of the Spirit is so alive in our human spirit that we get to live now in a place of joy. We get to live in a place of peace. We get to live in a place of righteousness and faith and patience. Woo. Really? Yes, Holy Ghost given. Amen. We have the ability by the Spirit of God to live life as an overcomer. Amen. We don't have to try to make this happen. All we have to do is receive what's already been given and bless the Lord for the benefits. Amen. So, Proverbs 17:22 says this. Speaking of our inner man and acknowledging every good thing that is in us, like Philemon 1:6 talks about, one of our favorite verses around here. Acknowledging every good thing that's in us in Christ. And as we acknowledge what's in us, we'll be able to receive and activate that. Well, look back here in Proverbs. It says in verse 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit will dry up the bones. You know, it's an amazing thing how practical God really is. You know, we sometimes in our religious cultures, you know, make God so impractical. He's so, you know, out there somewhere. But that was never God's intention. That's why the Father sent Jesus, so that when Jesus came, he said, if you've seen me, you've what? You've seen the Father. Well, what did Jesus do? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. He did all kinds of amazing things, showing us what the Father's heart is all about. So as we see this picture, God begins to reveal to us that He wants to be involved in everything of our lives. I used to think if I just gave God the first hour of my day, then I could kind of just, okay, thank you, Lord, got it, you know, and you know, thank you so much. Here we go. But many, many years ago, the Lord began to show me how the picture really is much better seen as if God is the wheel, God is the center of the wheel from which all of our life radiates. It's in Him that I live and move and have my being. So whatever I do, whether it's in word or deed, I do it all to the glory of God, including how I live physically, my physical life, you know, what happens in my body. I want to do whatever I do to the glory of God, not to the glory of myself, not just to please myself, but to now live for His glory and to do all things as unto the Lord. So a merry heart does good like a medicine. Literally, if you were to break this down in the Hebrew, which I've done, it really means a joyful or a cheerful heart makes a good healing. Isn't that good? I'm going to say that again. A joyful or a cheerful heart makes a good healing. So if you want to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, one of the ways that God is going to help you do that is by His Spirit teaching you how to have a merry heart, how to laugh at adversity, how to minimize an evil report. Instead of magnifying, minimizing it. Doesn't mean I'm going to deny it, but I'm going to take God's truth and I'm going to put it right on top of that reality and watch how truth is going to change that situation. But I'm going to refuse to magnify that thing in my thought process, in my inner man. Amen. Now, unbelievers try to get merry by crowding out the cares of life from the outside in. Often, it manifests in substance abuse, drugs, entertainment, whatever. And this kind of trying to get a merry heart is nothing but frustrating. And it's only superficial. But Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may discover, test or experience, that you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Hallelujah. I love that. 1 Peter 1:8 says that Christ gives us a joy unspeakable and full of glory. A joy that knows no limitations, no boundaries. A joy that is absolutely contagious. In Africa many years ago, there was a real famous missionary, and he was asked by many people, "Are you not afraid of getting the bubonic plague?" And I don't even know where it was, guys. You remember? Was it? I don't know. I can't remember. But anyway, he said, "No, I'm not afraid of getting their disease, but they're going to get my healing. I'm going to be contagious with the power of God. I'm going to be contagious with the life of God." Well, see, when you begin to identify with these things that I'm talking about today, to this point, you really begin to believe that. That's not just some religious, you know, mumbo jumbo. You really do begin to believe that. So that's why people like Mother Teresa and whoever can go into leper colonies and not worried about getting leprosy, but instead she's going to bring them healing. See? Whether you believe with her theology or not, you know, or agree with her theology or not. When you go in the power of the Holy Ghost, see, you're going to be the one that's going to be contagious. You're going to be contagious with the power of God. You're going to be contagious with the anointing that's going to break every yoke. And when you go into an atmosphere with a merry heart, guess what begins to happen? You begin to change that very atmosphere. What's in you starts to come out from you, and it begins to manifest in the physical realm. Hallelujah. Charlie Brown said years ago, his philosophy was, I'm going to dread one day at a time. I'm going to dread one day at a time. And I thought, you know what, that really does describe a lot of believers, because when you get a negative report, you get a bad report, whether it's medical, whether it's financial, whether it's family-oriented, whatever it is, isn't it easy to just begin to wait for the next shoe to drop? It's like, oh man, here we go. Tomorrow I'll probably lose my head. ISIS will be at my doorstep. You just begin to. So God says, I've given you this day to rejoice and be glad in me. And I'm the one that's made you glad by my life on the inside of you. I've given you overcoming power to be able to count it all joy, even when it isn't. And you know what? Let's be honest. There's a lot of days when you're believing God for a healing, when you're standing for something, where it's not just fun and games, is it? But you know what? We can count it joy. We can consider it joy like Abraham did not consider his own body. We can choose what we focus on. We can choose what we value and what we place priority on. And you know what? We begin to live in a place that would never happen without the Spirit of God. A merry heart does good like what? Like a medicine. Amen. So, as a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs 23:7 says, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let me give you an example. If you, someone telling you, you have to speak publicly, okay? You're not a public speaker, but somebody just came up to you and said, all right, you've got to present a report before, you know, 1,000 people tomorrow morning. And typically, if you're one of those people that really fears public speaking, and by the way, that is the number one fear in the world. Isn't that interesting? Is public speaking. And if that were to be you, what would instantly happen is your heart rate would probably go up. You'd begin to sweat and get a sick feeling due to this fear that has come alive on the inside of you, or been alive, of public speaking. How that person is thinking about it affects them physically. Isn't that amazing? And you can relate to all kinds of examples in your own life of when those kinds of things have happened. Whether it was fear, you know, some kind of fear came against you, and what happened to your body physically. If a person is embarrassed, what happens to their face? Yeah. Usually it turns kind of red, doesn't it? Yeah. Why? His thinking has affected him physiologically, which brings change to his blood vessels. You weren't embarrassed 5 minutes ago, but now all of a sudden something happened, you got embarrassed, and physiologically the way you're thinking about that is causing your face to make a physical change. Think about this. So, are these things all connected together? Yes, absolutely they are. And God is showing us this because he said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. I want you to live life to the fullest. I have come to give you abundant life. I've got a way of living that is Zoe life. Amen, the Greek word for God's life. See? Oh, I tell you what, this is awesome. The human brain has millions of nerve fibers that send chemical reactions to every organ in the body. Stress is one of the main reasons people get sick. Stress, anxiety, fear, adverse effects on the body, all this kind of stuff will adversely affect the body, especially the immune system. And when you begin to feel a sore throat, a lot of times it's because if you take a minute to figure out what's going on in your day, you will realize that you've been in a place of extreme stress. Whatever caused that stress, you know, you're dealing with it, you're coping with it, you're, you know, bless God, this is not going to get me down, you know, and you're just fighting the good fight. You've been under that stress all day long. You know what? It's already beginning to affect your immune system. So what will happen is you'll recognize those trigger points, and you'll begin to recognize them early on, and you'll begin to jump on that thing and take authority over it. And once you begin to walk this out as God's word has instructed us to do, you're going to be able to change the outcome into something different. And it'll be something good. Proverbs 15:33, I love this. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. Wow. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. You know, when you have a merry heart, you don't have to try to look happy, right? You don't have to try to fake it till you make it, you know? Many times when we're walking this walk of faith, we think that we have to fake it till we make it. That's not faith. That's called fake. That's not faith. That's fake. Right. Faith doesn't move God. God's not stuck. Amen? So what faith does is faith helps us to receive what God has already given. And as we begin to identify with what has already been given and the nature of God within us, we're not going to be willing to settle for less than God's best. Praise God. We're going to have a continual feast. Look at this, Proverbs 15 and verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. I love that. So, we don't have time to, you know, get into a lot of the nuances of this today. We will unpack this further. But as we begin the new year, you know, when you think about Happy New Year, listen, we've got something much greater than just happy. We've got a joy that comes from the Holy Ghost living on the inside of us that will sustain us even in the midst of an evil report. That will be our strength even as we are believing God to receive what we know has been given to us now by Scripture, by God's Word, through the life of Christ. But one of the things I want to encourage you with today is that we need to develop a sense of humor. If you don't have one, develop one. Amen? Why do I say that? Because we often take ourselves so seriously. And if you, you know, there are, I was sharing this with my lifestyle of worship class, I believe just yesterday, but there are four different basic personality types, according to the DISC profile. I used to do a lot of marriage counseling and family counseling, and so we would often do personality profiles to find out the person's bent, if you will, where they've come from. And there's a lot of great things in all of that. But how many know that some personalities are just going to, by default, see the glass half empty? That's just the way they are, you know? And these people, when they get under stress, they want more information. Get me information and get it to me now. You know? These are the people who are usually, when they're under stress, it's like Chicken Little. The sky is falling, right? Oh my God, the sky is falling. I need information, and I need it now. Somebody help me quick, you know? Whereas another personality type is so optimistic, they see the glass half full, and they're the people who are like, oh, it'll be okay. The airplane engine has stopped. We're flying in midair together, and this personality type says, it'll be okay. You know what? We're going to have to parachute. We're going to have to slide down that little slide thing. But you know what? When we're flying in the atmosphere, there's going to be a trampoline. When we land on the ground, we are going to hit a trampoline. I'm telling you, that's just what's going to happen. No problem. Que sera, sera. And the person who is like Chicken Little needing more information, the sky is falling, is like, you're an idiot. What are you talking about? We are all going to die, and we're going to die right now. And there's four of these personality types, and I'm telling you, it is an amazing study to put all these together to realize that all of this impacts how we walk this walk of faith. How we see, how we hear, our perspective. And the Bible says, I want you to learn how to have a merry heart, even in the midst of adversity. And sometimes one of the best things to do is just take a chill pill, as Pastor Greg Moore is so famous around here for saying. Just take a chill pill, count it all joy, bake a cake if you need to. You know, make a little count it all joy party. You know, whose birthday is it? Nobody's. It's just a count it all joy party. Praise God. We're going to count it all joy. Amen. We're going to throw ourselves a little party, and it's not going to be a pity party. Amen. And when I begin to develop a sense of humor, you know what happens? When the devil comes and says, you know what, not only do you have a sore throat, but you're going to die of throat cancer, I just literally begin to laugh at it. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That's hilarious. Whatever. Now, have you ever had a close friend share something? Or, no, erase that. You've had a close friend, and you're going to share something kind of personal. And you're kind of like, whew, okay, here we go. I've never really shared this with anybody before, but here you go. And you share it with that person, and they laugh in your face. That's like unbelievably devastating, right? You're just like, why did I ever go here? Well, imagine your enemy coming to give you an opposite report of the Word of God, and you literally minimizing that by laughing at it. Instead of saying, Satan, I rebuke you, just rebuke him by laughing. Wow. The devil said, what? And you know what happens? All of a sudden, you start to have a continual feast. You know? A merry heart does good like a medicine. A merry heart will provide a continual feast. You'll begin to eat on something that's going to be called the Word of God. And as you begin to meditate and chew on the Word of God, all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh my goodness, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Praise God. You might even begin to dance a little bit. You might lift your hands. Just don't do it while you're driving. Yeah, right? And I'm telling you, we need to develop a sense of humor. Let someone help you. If you're the person that always sees the glass half full, let somebody help you. You know what? We need each other. The person who's, you know, it'll be okay, they need that person that sees from the, you know, more information, you know. And there's four of those basic personality types. I don't have time to get into all of them, but it's a great study. But we need each other. We need to encourage one another in this walk of faith to where we're going to start off the new year by not just saying Happy New Year, but we're going to be living in the joy of the Lord. We're going to be counting it joy. We're going to believe the report of the Lord. And you know what? Our merry heart is going to do us good like a medicine. Praise God. Amen. Now, watch this, and I don't have time again to get into all this, but let me just share a couple of these things with you quickly. Fear has shown to trigger more than 1,400 known physical and chemical stress reactions and activates more than 30 different hormones and neurotransmitters. Even science is confirming the Word of God today. What God told us years ago in the book of Proverbs and other places in Scripture is still true today. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, what? Spring the issues of life. How you think on the inside is going to determine how you live on the outside. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems, you're not going to have challenges, But again, Jesus said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. What if you're in the middle of a storm and the Lord physically appears to you in the middle of that storm and you're like, God, I just need a word from you. And he goes, be of good cheer. You'd be like, no, seriously, God. I was hoping for something a little bigger, something with a little more substance here. You know, God says, be of good cheer. Okay. The benefits of a merry heart. Wow. You know what? It's incredible what happens to us once we begin to really realize how beneficial God's word is. And when we speak in tongues, it's interesting because the Bible says that when you speak in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, that you give thanks well. It's God's will that we live in this place of gratitude. We live in this place of having a merry heart, you know, this place of just God's life filling us up and flowing up out of us in rivers of living water. It doesn't mean that everything's just honky-dory. It just means that we have found a source of life that is bigger than what's happening in our physical life. We have found a source of life that's greater, that's going to flavor and marinate how I choose to live in the midst of my storms and my battles. When you speak in tongues, your frontal lobes of your brain are completely inactive. When you speak with your known language, whatever that is, let's just say, for example, today, English. When you speak in English and you're speaking, you know, intelligent language, you speak it from the frontal lobes of your brain. They now have scientific evidence through brain scans of your brain activity when you're speaking in a known language or when you're speaking in tongues. And the frontal lobes of your brain go completely neutral when you're speaking in tongues. Well, the Bible said that a long time ago in Corinthians, didn't it? When you pray with your spirit, your understanding is unfruitful. Yeah. Amen. Well, why is that a big deal? Because sometimes you need to not be fruitful in your understanding. Sometimes when you're trying to figure it all out, you just need to go into neutral on this thing and start to pray with the Holy Ghost and give thanks well. So if thanksgiving is such a big deal to God, he's even put it in your spirit man to be able to speak it up and prime the pump. When I'm not sure what to do, I can shift over into the language of my spirit man and begin to give thanks well. Well, you know what? The Bible says that when we pray in tongues, what else do? We edify ourselves. We build ourselves up. When I begin to pray in tongues or speak in tongues, sometimes I get so edified I start laughing. You ever do that? Of course you do. Just thinking about it makes me want to laugh. You know, you begin to pray in tongues. I mean, you were so stressed out a little earlier and you're just like, you know what, whatever. I am not going to receive that stress. That is not my assignment. My God-given assignment is to walk in the things of the Spirit, and I'm too blessed to be stressed. So I'm just going to say no to that stress right now and begin to just shift over into the language of the Spirit and let the life and the language of God's voice within me begin to just rise up. And as I begin to declare from the spirit man, all of a sudden that joy that's already resident in my spirit man begins to rise up and marinate all of my soul. All that is within me begins to bless the Lord. And all of a sudden, I might just burst out into laughter. It's been known to happen. Praying in tongues may lead to health. It may be really good for your health. As a matter of fact, when we get another opportunity to break this down, I will show you how that when you pray in tongues, they have medically documented now that it kicks in endorphins into your system that causes your whole internal being to start to thrive in health. It kicks up your immune system. It's like taking an immune booster. If stress can bring your immune system down, guess what building yourselves up in the Holy Ghost does? It causes your immune system to become stronger and resist sickness. See? So all of these things that God has given to us as benefits, He knew would be helpful on our behalf. He's given them to us so we can have a happy new year. Amen? He's given them to us so that we can live every day in the blessing of His covenant. So we can live all year like this and not have to submit to flu seasons and craziness like that. But we can be walking every day in the blessing of the Lord and learning that, you know what, even in the midst of the storm, I can say, peace, be still. Why? Because that peace is already on the inside. I've identified with it, I believe it, and now I'm going to speak it out to my circumstance. I'm going to say to that mountain, be cast into the sea. Why? Because I believe it in my heart, I've identified with it, I've magnified it to the point that now it comes up out of my mouth. See, as we begin to live like this, sickness is going to flee from you. Sickness will not have a chance to stay in your body because you are literally changing your physical DNA from being acceptable with sickness to resisting the enemy. You're resisting sickness and now saying yes to the promise of God. Is that awesome or is that awesome? Amen? So if you see somebody with a countenance that's not so cheerful, you know, just encourage them, right? Encourage them. Be a merry heart that's going to encourage somebody else. Be a heart that's so full of spirit and truth that you're going to lay hands on somebody else and speak a word of healing over them. You're going to identify so much with the nature of Christ within you that you're going to have more than enough to give to somebody else. Such as you have, you're going to give somebody else. Such as I have, Apostle Peter said, so I give unto you. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to identify that to where that thing is so magnified that it's just going to flow out of us in a continual feast. Praise God. A continual provision of the grace of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet today. Amen. And let's lift our hands and just bless the Lord. Can we do that? Let's just lift our hands and bless the Lord today and just thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His mercies that are new every morning. Thank Him for His faithfulness today. Lord, we exalt You. We love You. We magnify You. We bless You, Lord, and we declare that You are the one who is magnified. You are the one, Lord God, who is exalted above every name. You are the one, Lord God, that is greater than he who's in the world. And we do lift our hands to just say, we bless the Lord and all that is within us, Lord. We bless Your holy name. Lord, thank You for the anointing. Thank You that Your anointing that lives in us, Your spirit that lives in us, breaks every yoke. Every yoke, every bondage, every chain that the enemy would try to connect us with, You have broken and now break in us, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just speak freedom over every person here today. If there's anyone here, Lord, that does not know You as personal Savior and Lord, Lord, they know about You, but they've never received You into their life and received that forgiveness that You have so freely given. Lord, I pray that today would be their day. Father, for everyone who's believing You for healing, who has been walking in a sickness journey, Lord, I pray that sickness journey would be over today. And I pray that they'd begin to reverse that thing and now begin to walk in a healing journey. Father, I thank You for that in Jesus' name. And I thank You that every sickness, every disease is under our feet. That You have given us authority in Your name. That You are the name above every name. And so, Lord, we magnify You and exalt You today. You said to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And Lord, we do. We lift up holy hands and just bless You now in the sanctuary. Lord, we glorify You as Your temples and we magnify You above everything else in Jesus' name. Prayer ministers, if you would come and get ready to minister. Wow, it's so good to be back again. after at least a month off. And so great to have you here today. Thank you for coming. Those of you who are driving out of Woodland Park, be careful. There's lots of snow out there. And so just drive carefully. Those of you who are watching us from Florida, we don't want to talk to you. No, just kidding. We're so grateful for all of you who have joined us from around the world, wherever you are from, and you are a part of our healing school today via the internet. We are just all very grateful that you have taken time to be with us. And again, I want to just, we welcomed them a few weeks ago, but two of our most faithful internet healing school people that have joined us almost every healing school are here today in person, and that is Adam Stone's mom and dad. And we are so grateful to have Chris and Steve Stone here worshiping with us today. And we're so grateful that they've been a part of our healing schools from the UK. And it's an honor to have you guys with us today. Thank you for coming. And wherever you're from, whether you're in Africa watching us right now, or in Australia, or you will be watching us via the archives, we just want you to know that we really do value you being a part of what God is doing on our Colorado campus. And there is no distance with God in the spirit realm. And we're so grateful for that. So Father, in Jesus' name, we just extend our hands to all those who are joining us via the internet right now. And by doing this, we're just agreeing with what you have already done, what you've already provided, Lord. This ancient way of expressing our agreement, yada, praise, Lord, just saying, yes, we are agreeing with what you have already done. And God, we are releasing the power of God to be able to say, so be it in Jesus' name. God sent his word and healed them of all of their sickness and disease. And as he sent his word, so we send his word today to say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Receive all and a total restoration for all that God wants to do in you and through you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.